Shalom, and welcome to the Remnant Radio Hour, where we're living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy, and this tonight is going to be part two of Coming Out of Egypt with my co-host, Brooke Lounsbury, who also hosts Health Begins at Home on Friday mornings here at Lamb Radio, and she also airs on Hebrew Nation. Shalom, Brooke.
Shalom. It's good to hear you. Thank you for doing this with me. This is great.
Yeah, we've been having fun. When do you air on Hebrew Nation?
Pacific time, it would be 10 to 11 on Thursdays and 7 to 8 on Sundays.
Okay. And then Lamb, your Friday morning, correct?
Friday morning at 7, so that'd be 9 Central.
Yeah. All right. Health Begins at Home. You need to check that out. Brooke is a nurse. And so you want to check that show out. So we had too much fun last week, and there's a good reason they probably need to have a disclaimer before our show. Anyway, because not everybody's going to agree, of course, with what we say. And I think one thing I think is important for people to understand is we're not, I think for the most part, at least for me, and I'm pretty sure for you, we don't go off saying the things we do out of just emotions of what we think. Most of this we have experienced and seen the troubles and the issues and the heartache. And so we know that there's a system that works better. And so a lot of it's from experience and just wanting other people to know and understand that there is a more natural way for a lot of health issues that we have and a lot of ways we think about the world today.
It's all about our relationship with him. Yeah. And getting back to that in simpler ways, ways to simplify and organize our lives, because we know who the author of confusion is. And really, it comes down to that and learning coping. You know, we're so isolated. And I actually had talked about that. I have a show that's going to be airing on mental health toolkit, natural ways to feel better, and what is proven, because without having that focus, and especially in prayer, and I talk about Psalm 13 and go into that in quite in depth, we don't really have, like you said, it's from our own personal experience that we're doing this. And it's not just off the... Yeah, a lot of it I get very emotional about because of my own dealings, like you have, with the other system. And the system of Yahweh, of our Father, is a system that if we're Torah, maybe, I don't know if they call it observant, but we, you know, if we're following Torah, is really the way to complete health and life. And he gives us a guidebook just by reading it. And so we're just trying to implement and trying to get people pointed back to that, I think. Don't you think so, in a lot of ways?
Yeah, and as we discussed, because, you know, one day there's not going to be any other choices. You can't have one foot in Egypt and one foot in the promised land, spiritually or physically. And the more we intermingle the two, the harder it's going to get every day. And the repercussions are catastrophic, actually, for many people.
The repercussions are literally life or death.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we were talking, and what started this is the powerful, you know, we see right is wrong, wrong is right. We see Bruce Jenner, who I actually had met, is now running around acting like a girl at age 60. And this is an abomination. I'm not saying that everything is, but, you know, they're trying to force this bisexual agenda on us and shove it down our throats on top of everything else, because then we're haters. If we look to the Bible and see that, you know, sin is sin, and I understand that, but, you know, if you're going further, you know, this is an agenda to pull us away and to start to separate us. And in a way, it's a blessing because we can separate the wheat from the tares. And social media is powerful. They know that we are confused. We don't have a real culture in this in the United States, we may have our clans, our families, and our small areas that we deal with, or maybe we do it, you know, through the internet, but we don't have. So what they're doing is they're trying to provide the tool, their light and their torch of what their agenda is, to pull us away when we already have that sitting in, you know, our Bibles, sitting right on our, you know, right in our houses. And what I'd like to do is teach people how to implement this. And yes. Yeah.
Well, you have detox programs, don't you?
Yes, actually I do. And the whole idea of that is to show you that you can start to feel better. And it's an elimination diet. It's very simple. And I just really don't, I'm not one to spend money because I don't have a whole lot myself. And so what I do is I had learned from, I've been doing this for years. And my niece is actually coming out next week. And we're going to be doing a 5-day detox. And it isn't just about food. It's about journaling. It's about showing her she's not a believer. And showing her, because she asked about spiritual things, you know, so I'm witnessing to her. But as you start to physically detox, all of a sudden these emotions, you're freed. Each of our cells actually has memory in them, and they've been able to prove this. You get rid of that, your emotions, and your spiritual life becomes more pure. And getting rid of the heavy metals, and out of our, you know, everything. And also what we're watching on and what we're allowing our eyes, guarding our eyes and our hearts about what we spend our time with. I'm not saying not to sit down and watch a Netflix and enjoy it. I love a good old John Wayne movie. And I'd sent you a movie. Did you get that movie? Yes, okay.
I did. Thank you.
And I enjoy the old movies and things like that. It's part of my recreation. However, there's a time and a place for these things. And if it takes, you know, if it's taking away from my relationship with my family or God, then I need to start thinking about it again. And that's really, you know, looking inward, and one size doesn't fit all, just like we talked about diet. One size does not fit all for diet. Some people can be vegan and they do very well. Other people, this is just an example we talked about. They have, there was a small study done, and they believe that it's bigger, and I believe I'm in that study, that 45% of the people who eat, try to get their vitamin A from carrots, the carotene in it, which converts into an active form of vitamin A, they have two genes that are defective or do not actually allow your body to convert it. So the only way you would get vitamin A would be through fish oil. So I don't believe that anybody has one size fits all. If you do great on vegan, well, good for you. And I, you know, that's great. However, some people, everybody's body is different. So with my elimination diet, that's part of it, is what can you tolerate? What can't you? So
maybe you're from the tribe of Zebulun.
Why would that be?
Well, because they were they were on the seaside.
You know, actually, do you remember Michael Clayton? He did the 12 tribes. I remember getting his CDs on it. And I actually identified with Zebulun.
Yeah. So cool.
Anyway.
All right. So what do you want to go through today? I know you have a list. And if we run out, then I've got one to start.
Is there anything pressing on yours, first of all?
No.
Okay. Well, I wanted to talk about cultures and how they make people conform. And that isn't necessarily bad. But, you know, we talked about this last week. In biblical times, you know, we use the Bible or the Torah as the guidebook for how we were to treat each other, plus the Holy Spirit. And what has happened is that now they want to be the Torah. They want to be the false Torah. Even your TV screens are set at such a rate that it actually puts you into a mild trance. And I think it's 22,000 cycles a second or something. I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Our music has changed. The frequencies of our music has changed. People are starting to be aware of that when they're playing music. So that it's getting back to the more pure language, pure music. But they are using this social pressure to have us conform. And they, being the New World Order, whoever you want to call it, our government, anything that is not of God. And what they have done is they are starting to pull us, starting to pull families apart over this. And you talked about last week how we're haters, I mean, you and I both had said that. We're not. This is just, 10 years ago, this was not considered normal. We could go through a whole laundry list of things.
Well, we have scripture that basically, I should look it up to quote it, but that we're to hate sin. We don't hate people, but if it's evil and it's not the proper function that the Creator made, then that's not something we're supposed to love. And that's one of the signs that, we're of the same spirit and the same fruit, that we love what He loves and detest what He detests. But that doesn't mean that, we're mean and awful and we're going to go around shooting and killing everybody who doesn't agree. I mean, Father himself doesn't even do that. He's long suffering and he
Here it
gives plenty of
says,
warnings.
I just found this. I looked it up. It says, God hates sin, for you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. And that's Psalm 5:4 and Proverbs 6:16 through 19. He hates sin because he is holy. And then Isaiah 6:3, sin is completely contradictory to his holy and divine nature. And as imitators of God, Ephesians 5:1, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble reading it. Christians are to hate sin.
And so are Torah believers. Sorry, I
I know, yeah. Yeah, we're on that. Hey, we're the Hebrews. So you just put in Torah believer can never endorse sin, nor can we knowingly interact with someone in such a way to give credence to their sin. Now that doesn't mean you don't love the person. It doesn't mean you don't spend time with them, because they will not know you're God if they don't spend time with you. So, but it's just a matter of when they get to that certain point. No, that's where we have to know where our line in the sand is. And that's part of coming out of Egypt. How far do you go? Where's your line in the sand?
Yeah, and I think it's important to just make sure you're going in the right direction. I mean, sometimes you're going to take a couple of steps back and forth, but I think what's important is what is your desire? Do you desire to come out? Do you desire to be in his presence and live the way he's called us to more than you desire living comfortably where you have to put up with compromising and being defiled? So I think, it's all part of, and there's different areas of our life to come out of Egypt, spiritually, physically, legal, with legal matters, with education matters, whether we, how we educate our children, how we educate ourselves, how we eat, how we drink, how we dress. I mean, every facet of life, there's a system, and it's either of Yahweh's kingdom and a covenant that he has with his people, or it's of Pharaoh's and Egypt's and their way of thinking and doing.
Absolutely. One of the things I think is he gave us a conscience, and you'll hear that little voice saying, that wasn't quite right. And we have all compromised at some point in our life something, but he gives us that grace to go back and to make it right. And that's where teshuva, repentance, repent, repent, repent. If we are to do nothing else, is that we will continue to turn away from and go towards him. And as long as we're, like you said, 2 steps back, 3 steps forward,
Well,
hopefully.
yeah, and you can be strong. I mean, I know even personally in my personal walk, 20 something years ago, so long now, 20, 30 years ago, I had a desire to do righteousness, but there were certain weaknesses in my makeup and my, blame it on the way I was brought up, blame it on generational curses, whatever it was. It didn't seem to matter sometimes how much I tried, I would falter. and I would fail despite my desire to come out of some things. And I always looked back on that time as, you know, 3 steps up, 5 back, 2 up, 10 back, you know. And what the thing was is I kept striving towards the right way. And eventually, one day, you know, several years later, it's like Father just snapped it. And then it wasn't even an issue anymore. And there was an empowerment there. And that's a wonderful empowerment. If, you know, many people, I think, go through their whole believing life and really never experience that. But at the same time, it didn't empower me to break every single little thing in my life. But it broke the major thing that hindered me in my walk. And so I look back on that and I think, you know, I was always before the throne, always in trouble, always needing help. And but I kept going. You know, I kept going. And I look at other people today and they're in the same spot and they think that they're stuck there and they're not. It's just a matter of time. You know, he knows your heart and he's not through working with you and making sure that all the dross is out.
And don't you think that maybe we're in a lesson? This life is a big lesson, and we learn a lesson, and no sooner do we learn it than another opportunity comes to grow. Like you said, there's steps back, but if there's steps back, we step back from the situation, we look at it, and then we go to it again through maybe a different way of handling things, and I think a lot of people are feeling like, because I've heard this, you know, that there's something is not quite right, but they can't really place their finger on it. And like you said, you had that revelation, a big one. Like you said, most people don't have that, you know, and that's great.
And then, you know, you can have the opposite, which I think is far too more prevalent, is that they look right, they act right, they talk mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. And they look like they're all going in the right direction, but underneath it all, in their heart, they are not. And they're supplanting Yahweh's kingdom and building their own, and their self-righteousness, and there's pride, and guilty of that one too. And, you know, and I think that makes them more disgusted than the one who messes up, who's striving, who longs
oh,
and
no.
has a desire.
Absolutely. And teachers.
To have that relationship with him, you know.
Absolutely. You know, I was just thinking of Rick Warren and his fall with the promise-driven church or whatever, foolishness. Uh-huh. And that was a big one. You know, he's accepted homosexuality. He's just completely turned to the other side. And here a person in authority and who could be, you know, blessing so much. Then the person that's truly broken and fallen, or that is having trouble and struggling and doesn't know where to turn. You know, we were talking about being our brother. You're going to be doing a show. I wish I could be there with you next Thursday. And I think this would be good to talk about, especially as we're coming out of Egypt and expectations. Mm-hmm. And you want to talk, and didn't this is kind of a brainchild of yours and Mark's, isn't it?
I wonder if you'll let me tell. Well, Mark anyway. And I were exchanging dreams, and anyway, and then he printed out his dream in the newsletter last week, and it hit a chord with me. And so next Thursday on this show, and I believe it's going to go into a 2-hour show on the topic, into Angie's show. I think her show is The Secret Place next Thursday. And what we're going to talk about is how do you minister to others? How do you work in ministry? Volunteer work serving others in the kingdom and still minister to your Elohim, to your creator, and keep a balance, and with your family too. So yes, we're going to talk about that, because I know for me that strikes a real chord, because I don't have the luxury of just getting up and spending all this time studying and basking in worship and praise and, you know, really hearing from him 24/7. All those years that I did, that actually he was working through the trials and the tribulations, and all that time I had to study to get me ready for the day they said, okay, now I want you to go out, you know, in full-time ministry. And I've struggled with that, you know, to keep that right perspective. And so, yeah, we're going to talk about that next week. And, you know, and it's not just for people who work in ministry and teaching. you know, and pastors, and you know, we're talking moms. Moms serve their children all day long. Mm-hmm. Fathers are out working. Many of them are in horrible work situations, especially spiritually. They're giving out. They're giving to support their family, and then they come home. We've got children of, you know, elderly parents who are giving, and people, you know, who have a heart and they're giving and giving and giving, but they're not refueling and they're not ministering and they're not having that intimate relationship. So this is important for everybody, because everybody, especially if they're believers in covenant with Him, are giving and ministering somehow, somewhere. And there needs to be some balance.
Well, when I was working hospice, the first thing I would tell people, and people don't like to hear this, but it's true, and that's what I started Health Begins at Home from. It was an inspiration with my work with home health and hospice. But really, your relationship with Him has to come first, with God, Yahweh. But the four walls that contain what is considered your family, and maybe the four walls, you know, your extended family, those have to be taken care of, and yourself, so that you are equipped and you are strong to go out. And pressures and people pull on us. And you have to stop and think, what is legitimate? What is really needed? And hopefully people are listening to you and taking some of what you're ministering to these people, and then applying it and going out and equipping them to go out. Instead of just using this as your radio show that's entertainment, that they would take something of value from this. And that's kind of what my whole Health Begins at Home is about. You know, it's simple things you can do. But when it comes to your spiritual life, you may not, like you said, you're an all or nothing person, but there's got to be either a block of time that you can set aside, even if there's all these other things that you have to set aside on a regular time, whatever that is. And it's going to look different for each person. So, I wanted to talk about, you know, some of the foolishness that's going on in our world. And some of it, the social media is how we look and how thin we are and how whatever, and Facebook, everybody's so happy and vivacious. And if you're not, oh my goodness. So, I get these regular alerts from the US FDA, and, it has to do with, something called, it's a supplement called, Natural Max Slimming. And one of the things I'm going to do is talk about that, and then the home health care tip of the week that actually is a better solution, and it's natural. So this one here says on the US FDA, it has a date, March 3rd, 2015. The FDA is advising consumers to not purchase or use Natural Max Slimming, a product promoted for weight loss. This product was identified by the FDA during an examination of international mail shipments. FDA laboratory analysis confirmed that Natural Max Slimming contains, get this, Viagra, Prozac, and a weight loss supplement that's banned in the United States called Meridia. Now, Natural Max is not the only one. There are dozens of these out there. There is a better way to take care of your body than through these things that are going to throw your complete hormones off and make you feel worse than you know, you're not healthy.
Now, Brooke, is that prescription or over the counter?
Over the counter.
Oh my gosh. Wow. And you know, and how, now is it like listed that way, or is it like under some other name so people don't even know? I mean, some people don't even know what those things are, but some people do, and they, you know, maybe they're being misled for the ones who do know what those names are of those drugs.
Well, if you go to USDA, they have the one thing USDA is pretty good for. Let me show you this. It does have a picture of it. What it is, it's just got a picture of some skinny gal that's there. There we go. But you can go on the drugs you know, by anyway, so if you're
looking
at
that.
Yeah,
it's just amazing that, you know, they ever approved that for, that's just incredible. That's incredible.
Well, it came over as an international shipment and they tested it. So first of all, you may want to use, I don't even trust our government because our government is the same one that's approved and done underhanded deals with Monsanto, which I consider about the most satanic corporation on the planet. And so, you know, you're looking at this and going, you know, it's buyer beware. But okay, so you want to get thinner. We all want to either get, nobody's ever happy with their bodies, you know, even though we were divinely and wonderfully made. So I found an article that actually, there's a, let me bring this up, about rose hips. Let's see. And there we are. Me and my computers. Hold on.
Now the rose hip is, you found some research on that.
Yes, I did. It's very good. Hold on a minute here. Okay. Now rose hips melt belly fat. A 12-week study done in Japan has found that an extract from rose hips, which is the fruit from the rose flower. Now, the fruit is actually, your flower, you have the flowering rose, and not the hybrid. They found out, I did more study, I don't have it linked, but actually, it should be from the roses, the wild roses, the rose bushes, you know, not the hybrids, the ones with the great big, beautiful blossoms. But anyway, it's the fruit. It's that after the rose blossoms drop, you'll see a red nub on there, and that's called the fruit, the rose hip, and that's full of vitamin C and just all kinds of wonderful things. But they found out it inhibits belly fat accumulation while boosting metabolism at rest and during exercise. So this is something, you know, they tell you to take all these, what is that, ephedrine or whatever, and all this other stuff, yeah. And you're all jittery. This is something natural. Subjects were given 100 milligram tablets with a naturally occurring active ingredient, tilicyride, or a placebo, and told not to change dietary or physical habits during the test. The group who took the extract had a significantly lower body mass index than those who took the placebo. So, they did this study over in Japan, and they said that I think they lowered it a couple of percentage points. They did nothing else that was different, and they only did it on people that were considered overweight but not quite obese because of they wanted a certain, to keep the parameters for a certain metabolic profile. Well, you go and get yourself some. You can get them anywhere. You can do it yourself. You can go out and harvest them, you know, in the fall or whatever, the rose hips. And you dry them, and then you put them in a grinder. You can use a dedicated coffee grinder. That works great to make a powder. And then put some of it in your smoothie, you know, like a half a teaspoon to a teaspoon. And now this is just what we have talked about before. This is for educational purposes only. And it's, you know, talk to your doctor about it, but they haven't been able to find anything wrong with this, doing this with medications. You add it to your smoothie, whatever your smoothie is of the day, and you've got yourself a natural Max Slimming along
yeah,
with
I bet.
And boosting your vitamin C and your bioflavonoids and all the wonderful things. He has a way for us. It's simple and it's effective and it's been proven to work.
You know, and you can in the Northwest and probably in the South, as long as they're, I'm not sure if you want to do where they've sprayed, but you can harvest a lot of wild rose hips.
Absolutely.
They're
that's everywhere.
That's something to do during Sukkot, actually, if you're in the mountains
Perfect.
Or the woods. We've done that many a Sukkot. And yeah, and you can make them fresh, or you can take them and put them in that Vitamix and blip them into shock.
Yep.
Powder them down and store them, and then just all, you know, throughout the winter, especially, depending on how much you collect, you can, you know, put them and make some teas out of them. And you can have them warm, you can have them cold, you can add them to your teas. And So, yeah.
And melt belly fat at the same time, and you don't need those silly pills.
That's right. So there
yeah,
you go.
and you can so for me, a smoothie would be some if you can collect berries, great. If not, I get frozen berries. Right now, they're coming up now. Strawberries are coming in around here early this year. So you would take however many berries you want. And then I do it with and without honey and local honey, like a little bit of honey. Then I put in about a tablespoon of coconut oil, and coconut oil in the body acts as a carbohydrate and actually increases your metabolism. It's good for your thyroid before it will turn into an actual fat. So you put the coconut oil, it's antiviral, antibacterial, it's great antifungal, it's great for your dental health. And then if you added this rose hips and maybe some sesame milk or whatever, you can blend it up. And I even have done this in the little, I've got a little rocket blender. If you don't have the Vitamix, Vitamixes are great. They do, you know, tend to be a little pricey, but they're great. Great, great addition to your, if you don't buy anything else, buy a Vitamix, and you'll use it over and over again. So that's one thing. Another thing too is I wanted to talk about solutions to things. Last week I talked to, I was actually on my show, I talked about emulsifiers such as carrageenan, polysorbate 80, which is in ice creams and things like that. Well, they're finding out that these emulsifiers are really detrimental to your health, and especially guar gum, G-U-A-R gum. And I thought I was being such a good girl because I found carrageenan in the boxed milks, like the my husband loves almond milk, hemp milk, all of these. Well, that has carrageenan in it. Mm. And let me pull that up, what carrageenan does, what these emulsifiers do. Emulsifiers are linked to gut bacteria changes and obesity. And so we don't want to have this because when we're ruining our gut bacteria, it ruins our mental health because neurotransmitters are made, which are the feel-good chemicals, are made directly from your gut bacteria. So you want to protect those little buggers. And so emulsifiers are horrible. Well, guar gum, G-U-A-R gum, is in my Thai Kitchen organic coconut milk. I looked up guar gum. It is associated. This is organic, mind you, organic. It's associated with colon cancer.
Great.
Yeah. So here's what you do for making coconut milk. You get yourself some dried, with no sugar in it, coconut shredded. Put about 3/4 of a cup of it in your Vitamix. Hopefully you have a Vitamix. You add boiling hot water to that, about a cup of boiling hot water. And then you blend it on high for about a minute. And then you let it sit. And then you strain it with a cheesecloth, or I use a sprouting bag, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Let it sit, and then you can redo it. You can use this, you'll take the coconut flakes that you've already used, you dump them back into your Vitamix, and you mix them again with another batch of hot water, and you squeeze it out, put it in your refrigerator, and you'll have to shake it up every time after it cools. Let it cool. You can add a little bit of organic vanilla, or if you have vanilla bean, if you're lucky enough to have that, just put a tiny bit in as you're blending it. And what you can do with this coconut is really cool. You can dry it out if you have a dehydrator, or even on a cookie sheet, break it up, and you can put it in muffins, you can put it in granola. So you're not wasting it. So that's one thing you can do if you wanted to get away from what I was doing. I'm sitting here with the whole case of this stuff and going, do I want colon cancer? Do I want to save money? You know?
Well, yeah, in the long run, you will anyway if you do it the right way, but it might cost a little bit more upfront, you know. But it's an investment, and it's an investment in your remedy cabinet, you know. People need to make an investment, you know, instead of an extra McDonald's hamburger or something, they need to invest some funds in some quality products so that they have them on hand. So when someone does get sick, they have what they need.
You know, and that's true, isn't it? So what we're doing is we're thinking about these things we can do. You can get overwhelmed. However, if you just start to do one change, even one change every 2 or 3 weeks, even one once a month, and you were consistent at it, it adds up really fast. Once a week would be good for change, but that's really hard for people. And you don't want to alienate your family either. That's another thing. You want something that's going to be effective and that you can get everybody on board with.
Yes. Well,
Priorities.
it doesn't work if you don't do it at all.
So you have to start somewhere. So if you start with like one thing, you know, make one commitment. Sundays for me, I've gone gluten free. And so Sundays for me is and my husband is too now, and is my day to, catch up around the house. And then also I make one or two types of crackers that I've made because we miss crackers, you know, real cracker, not those gross things. If you think gluten-free is tasteless, that's because you're eating the stuff in the stores. You can make some really good. There's a yeast bread that doesn't even require anything. It's not like making yeast bread with wheat flour, and it's delicious. It tastes like French bread. So there are things you can do. But you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, and a lot of times you just need to look at, you know, what do you have at hand? What, you know, in your situation where you live, you know, what can you wildcraft? What can you know, get or, you know, at the local store or go pick and glean or from a local farmer or whatever. Everyone's situation is a little bit different where they're at. And you need to take advantage of that and figure out how and what to do with it. You know, whether you've got, you know, I think one thing I think almost everybody has, except for maybe if you're in Arizona, you know, right now all around the country is dandelions.
Oh, you were reading my mind. I was going to talk to you about that. You know, isn't it a shame that we spray these things?
I
We,
mean,
not me,
yeah.
but oh yeah. That's so
You can
weird. I
use
was just going to bring
every
that
part
up.
of the plant and walk out. You know, if you don't do pesticides in your house, I mean, we'll pray over the chemtrails, but if you don't do pesticides, you go out, you can eat the flower, you can eat the stems, you can eat the root. I don't take the time to do the root because it's just time consuming, but you can take the root, clean it. Every part of the dandelion plant is healthy and it's good for the liver and it's good for the blood and you can put it in salads and, you know, people pay high dollars to eat these flowers in a restaurant, in a gourmet restaurant. And it's good. And, you know, that's, I forget there's a name for it, but if you look at what Father provides each season of what's growing out there, I think that is ideally, there's a word for it, and I can't remember what that word is, but that's really what our diets are supposed to be, I believe. Because he knew that at that time of the year, we needed our liver cleaned or whatever. And so when things produce throughout the year is really, if you're living in sync with his creation and what he put around us in your environment where you live, whatever is indigenous to that area, that is really what's healthy and beneficial for you at that time. And some people are learning more and more to do that. And not only just through wildcrafting, but, you know, saying, hey, it's a whole lot better when he grows it and you didn't pay a dime for it.
Or you can barter with somebody if you're in an apartment
Yes.
or in a situation.
Well, yeah, and just different people at
Yeah.
different elevations and microclimates, you know, you can buy and trade whatever's in their area or, you know, something else that they have, you know. So that is something to really really consider, but you know, there's other plants out there too that come out, especially this time of the year, and will be coming out in the next month or two.
Think about it, all winter you've been, you know, most people are like slugs in the winter. So your liver's all clogged up. So he's provided all of these greens to clean you out. I mean, that's great. And one thing I always thought was interesting was where it's really, really hot and you're losing a lot of electrolytes, watermelon grows in the heat. Yeah, and if you think about it, oranges and the citrus family, as you're coming out of the winter, and you're it's normally found around, you know, in this early spring, you know, so you're just getting cleaned out. I mean, the pectin that's in the white part of the, you know, that's what you should be eating, is actually where all of the good is in the peel of the orange. I'm actually drying, as my husband eats grapefruit and oranges. I've got them all over my counters now drying, so I'm going to put them in my Vitamix and blend those up and use that, because I've been reading what a great detoxifier the orange peel is. I mean,
the only warning, a huge warning I will say with that, Brooke, is it does need to be organic and non-dyed.
Oh yes, we don't eat
Most people don't realize it. Having come from the South, and my husband and my family living and working and supporting the orange citrus industry, you have no idea how they gas them, how they color them, how they dye them, the chemicals that go on them that are toxic. A real orange isn't that pretty, and it's not that dark of a color. And same thing go with the other citrus. So, you know, just touching that chemical can actually burn your lips. And so when we talk about these things, we are talking organic and making sure that there's no pesticides or anything on them.
Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah, I forget. Yeah, that's what we eat as much as possible. But yeah, I didn't know that about I knew that, like with your oranges, because I grew up in California, our oranges didn't look anything like the oranges that are in our produce section.
Well, we worked, and some of the people in our family worked at the packing plant, and they gas them months ahead of time. And then you go through and you watch them go down the lines and they get graded and separated. And then you see the chemical and the dye, and I've actually tasted and had it, you know, burn or touched it. And so that's why I'm very, you know, aware.
Yes.
Of it. And you know, and that's the other thing. We've been trained as a people, you know, old time farmers had no problem, but you know, if there was a worm, cut it out. You know, I mean,
if it's good enough for the worm, it's good enough for us.
Yeah, pretty much. And I used to work for the Extension Service. I was the office manager for the Florida Extension Service there, out of the University of Florida. And you know, we had a lot of the agricultural things there. And one of our agents who was in charge of the Master Gardener program, you know, he basically said, you need to plant, you know, enough for the weather to take and enough for the animals and the bugs and the birds to take, and then enough for you. And, you know, and he would talk about how, you know, it's not about how pretty it is. Now, we're not talking about mutants, okay, from radiation, but we're talking natural fruit, what happens, and I'm sure that everybody can identify with this. You go to the grocery store and this fruit looks wonderful, and you bring it home and you cut it open and it's tasteless, it's mealy, and sometimes it's even rotten inside.
Yes.
So, we do this with our people, you know. Is our men and women gorgeous and sexy and pretty and blah, 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 you know, and they don't have anything inside. We do the same thing. I mean, we just have this whole culture about, does it look perfect? No. Sometimes the very best things, and probably more than often than not, the very best things do not have a perfect image that the industries and the marketing has sold to Americans.
Wall Street.
Yeah.
Wall Street's so that you feel inadequate, so then you have to medicate yourself with either a shopping spree. We are such a consumer-driven society, and we need to get away from that and start becoming a producing society, producing things that are good for us and producing for our families. Yes. Nisa, I just came across an article that I think, let me send it over to you, that you might find interesting and talk about and get on your soapbox about. here. It has to do with vaccines.
All right.
And I'll
One of
let
my
you look at
favorite
it while,
topics.
yeah. So sometimes you have to decide what your battles are and where you draw them. And for me, it's Monsanto and our food supply. And you have to focus because really, if you focus on too many things or you try to, the tip of the spear is not very sharp. So you pick a few things that really matter, and the rest of them you pray that somebody else picks up the ball for, or you make suggestions to people. This is I'm going to talk about it while she reads it here. New federal vaccine mandate proposed. All shots required, no parental exemptions. Now, this is forcing a medical procedure on people. Whether or not you decide that you want to vaccinate your child, nobody should have the right to tell you that you should or should not. Florida Congressman Frederica S. Wilson, Democrat 24, has introduced a bill, House Resolution 2232, that will require all states to mandate all students enrolled in public schools receive all the vaccines recommended by the Advisory Committee on Immunization Policy, a federal body comprised of vaccine industry representatives, which includes vaccines for HPV, which they know is a farce. That was a whole money laundering situation with that. Hepatitis A, hepatitis B, Paul Offit's rotavirus vaccine. Now, I have talked about before that rotavirus actually, there is a beneficial bacteria that will keep you from getting it, your child from getting it, bifidobacterium, and actually a baby that is healthy and has been breastfed normally will not get rotavirus. And if they do, then you, well, anyway, annual flu shots and dozens of others. States that do not comply will not be eligible for grants for preventative health services under the Public Health Services Act.
Yeah, this is, I think they're just pushing the button farther and farther. They're just pushing it, and yeah, that's one of my triggers. Having suffered from vaccinations and just the whole revelation about it. So, the main thing I've been doing for the last 25, 30 years is I keep hoping that it keeps working, and I encourage people to do is just keep praying that Father will protect you, that you don't have to come to those situations where you're even involved in those. And again, removing yourself out of Egypt on other platforms in your life will help protect you and not have to deal with that as soon as many other people do on a daily basis that just freely walk, spiritually and physically in Egypt.
So, I had my neighbor on who homeschools, interviewed her, and how you can do this and why. And that's another reason to homeschool. If you're able to do homeschooling, we actually you should try to you should try to find a way to do this. Even I've heard that you can do part-time homeschooling or something. Start to pull your children out slowly. Start to get, that's what community is for. There's networks, there's homeschooling networks all over the place. The problem is that we now have, and I was this way too. I was a single mother, a divorced mother, yeah, for many years with my children, and I was not able to just go out and homeschool. I had no support system. Start to find, if you happen to see somebody out there that is single, that's struggling, do what Yeshua would do and have compassion on them. Don't feel that they are, especially in the churches, that they are a threat to you or your marriage as a woman. And I've had person after person tell me this, that they see these single women out there and that have children, and they just walk away from them. And I can remember some of my loneliest times were in the church situation when I was going to church. And we could use this, we can say messianic, whatever
Yeah,
your
well,
flavor
the
is.
problem is with, and I have experienced this hugely. The mentality of most believers and definitely most Americans, many, I should say many believers is, well, we pay our taxes. They should have to go to Title 21 school or Title 8 or whatever it is that they have these systems. And you, the mom needs to be retrained and she needs to go to work. And, you know, fortunately, there have been many cases within the homeschool movement in the last 20, 30 years where a lot of women who ended up single or widowed, there was a community to help support her to continue homeschooling and help her in many different ways. So, now, that was a rare case, and it was always, I always saw it in a case where the woman was very dedicated and, you know, she had the utmost respect of the community. And people, you know, it's like Father just honored it and brought her. But it was not easy. But I can't tell you how many times I've had to look at people in the church buildings and go, what are you thinking? It has never been the government's job to take care of these women and children.
No, it's and our, so, it's us. And it was until recently. Now and, we, from cradle to grave, they want to have
so this
that
is
control.
Part of the responsibility. And, you know, actually we can segue into this. When we do part three, because I'd like to talk a little bit about coming out of Egypt with public education and home education, which is really a Hebrew thought process of training your child from the moment you get up, like it says there in Deuteronomy, and as you walk throughout the day and live a lifestyle. It's not just about which books and, you know, curriculum you do, but a lifestyle from the time you get up to the time you go to bed and getting that attitude and mindset. You know, and that's the way it was done in ancient format until they became about 12 or 13, and then they would go off into an apprenticeship. And, you know, that has worked in this country and still works in this country for the Amish and the Mennonite, who very much live that type of life. And so that's something we can talk about because that takes an untraining of our mind and the education systems that we've come out of. So... anyway, do you have anything else, Brooke? We got less than a minute, and then we need to get out of here for the next show.
No, I think part three, that would be great. And, you know, we could do, my idea would be is that we would start at birth and coming out of Egypt from birth and each of the age groups and how
Ooh,
that looks.
We could talk about home birth.
Home birth. We could talk about pre-pregnancy and what to do before you even get pregnant. And go all the way through the lifespan of a human and even teenagers and they're, you know, just go on and on. Young adults, oh. adults, you know, you name oh. it. The challenges each one has getting out of Egypt.
All right. Well, we'll be back in June to do that then. Next week, I'll be here with Mark, David Smith, and with Angie and whoever else, the other producers that come on. We're going to talk about how to minister to others and keep that right relationship in ministering to the Father and having him minister back to you. And then the last Thursday of this month, I'm going to have Linda Elliston from the Olive Tree out of Bonner's Ferry, Idaho. And we're going to talk about the ministry and what she does up there. And then, Brooke, if you're open, we'll be back for going back through coming out of Egypt.
I think I am. I'll look at my calendar and we'll talk.
All right.
That's great. Thank you.
All right. And for those, we will be having, we're working on an outofegypt.net website, and Brooke will have these shows archived at her healthbeginsathome.com, and I will have them at remnantremedy.net/radio.com. So thank you, Brooke. May your garments always be white, and let your head lack no shimmin. Shalom.
She takes the time to prepare. She bends her heart to Yahweh in prayer. When she hears